Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. One of the things I love about World Communion Sunday is this sense of unity across the church. The denominations all have their different little theologies and their different practices and rituals and even present communion differently, but we all have the bread and we all have the cup. Today brings us together to recognize the core belief of our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose death gives life. Too often we let our differences get in the way. I remember when I was a youth leader back in Woodstock, and our church had a Baptist church three houses away from us. And we asked them if we could get together and do some collaborative youth ministry things. And they said no, because the theologies of the churches were different. When we let our differences divide us, we become weaker. Now, Peter is writing to a bunch of scattered, persecuted churches. This is the time in history when they were chasing down Christians. And so they were scattered and all about. And Peter writes to them and gives them this instruction that you need to be of one mind because there's strength in unity. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Christ. That is the one mind that we are to be of. And we're familiar now with Romans 12:2 that says we need to have a renewed mind. So to get rid of our old thinking and embrace the mind of Christ is the renewed mind. And there is unity and strength found in this oneness of mind. All of us sharing the mind of Christ. The global church needs to be of one mind. What does that look like? Well, Peter tells us. Now, if you're the kind of person who likes to be given a list of things that you need to do, this is for you. Here is Peter's list. Sympathize with each other. It means we come to an understanding, to kind of get an understanding anyway, of where they're coming from, to understand their situation. It also means that we need to find ways to identify through our commonness. And right down to the root of it, Jesus is what makes us all common. And we need to show empathy for those spaces, especially where there's differences. We need to love each other as brothers and sisters. We are talking about healthy family dynamics here. We are family. And as such, we should offer each other grace and allowance to each other's faults or discrepancies or disagreements. We are to be tender-hearted, and that is expressed through caring and kindness and a genuine fondness for each other. We are to keep a humble attitude. Too often in our differences, one side roots in stubbornly to believe that they are right, and that's all that matters. But God responds to the humble heart, And God imparts his wisdom and favor on the humble. But we also know that God opposes the proud. Peter says, do not repay evil for evil. There's no getting even attitude here. Because we have the mind of Christ, we know what Christ says to do when we are wronged. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear a mile, carry it too. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. That's what Jesus says. Peter continues, don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Well, Jesus said the same thing. He said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And that's prayers of blessings, not prayers of go get them, God. Think of the power that is found in living in the mind of Christ. No one without Christ could ever do this. And that's why it's important for the church to have the mind of Christ and be of one mind. Imagine if the churches across Canada all did that one thing. What a living testimony the church would be. And so it is for each of us then to do our part. We can't control what others do. We can only control what we do. And so our part is to live in the mind of Christ and not in our strength, but through the Holy Spirit at work in us. Now let me ask you the same question that Peter asks. Do you want to enjoy life and see many happy days? Who wouldn't want that? Now, if there was something that you could do to make this your reality, that you would have or enjoy life and have many happy days, would you do it? Peter tells us what we need to do. He says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. This connects right back to that list of things he gave us to do. So the key is what's in our mouth, what comes out of our mouth. But what is speaking evil? Well, throughout Scripture, primarily, speaking evil means to slander, to speak falsely against someone. And an interesting note that Satan is also called Diabolos, and that word translates to slanderer. And in Revelation, he's called the accuser of the brethren. Slander is to make false accusations. Speaking evil, according to scriptures throughout, also includes backbiting, malicious talk, gossip, and bearing false witness. Now, the other thing to avoid if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days is telling lies. I think we're probably a little more familiar with telling lies over speaking slanderous things about other people. But here's where telling lies is a little ugly. This is what Jesus said about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. When we lie, we're speaking Satan's language. Think about that. I remember teaching my children when they were young that when they lied, it was like setting up their tent in Satan's camp. And so the question begs, where do you want your tent? Speaking lies is the polar opposite of having the mind of Christ, which is truth and love. Now, I'm sure that somebody is thinking, well, what about those little white lies? I mean, we color-coded it with a gentle, friendly color. White lies can't be that bad. If my wife asks me how I look in the dress, I'm giving a safe answer. Well, if a lie is a lie, then white lies are lies too. But don't panic, because I can see it right now. Thinking, if my wife asks me if she looks fat, please do not tell me I have to say yes. Because we justify those little white lies because we're sparing someone's feelings, and maybe we are. But the consequence is that we're compromising our integrity. We've pitched a tent in the wrong camp. We're speaking a language that should be foreign to us with the mind of Christ. A lie is a lie. Where do you want to pitch your tent? Now, lies keep us from enjoying life and seeing many good days, to which I know you're thinking, telling my wife she looks fat will end my days. So I'm not going to leave you stranded here. I'm going to give you a strategy. When you're faced with one of those questions that you don't want to answer truthfully because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and that's very noble, I want you to follow one of Jesus' most used tactics. Answer their question with a question. So, for example, honey, do I look fat in this dress? You could reply, why do you think this dress doesn't look good on you? Honey, I love you. You are beautiful on the inside and out. No dress can change that. Huh? Yeah, you're snickering, but let me tell you, that's the answer that'll win you points. I promise that that kind of a response will make her day. And you know the expression, happy wife, happy life. That response embraces what Peter says, to turn away from evil and do good. See, better than getting that yes answer just to keep out of hot water, you've done good. You've given a response that blessed her and enriched your marriage as a bonus. That's the kind of mind that we are to live with. We're not just trying to give the right answer. We're trying to bless the person who's asked it. Clearly, she feels insecure to be asking the question in the first place, and now your answer is even better. Peter tells us to search for peace and work to maintain it. But when we do these things, it is wonderful to know what else Peter says. He says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. What a beautiful feeling to know that God is watching over us. But not only that, Peter goes on to say, his ears are open to their prayers. God is our helper. He tells us that in so many different passages. He's looking over you who are doing right. And waiting, listening for your prayers. We should all be of one mind. And that is the mind of Christ. And when we live this way, we will enjoy life. We will have the life in abundance that Jesus speaks of. And we will see many good days. And if the entire body of Christ could do this, we would change the world. So let each of us do our part here in this little corner of the world, in this little congregation. And may our testimony bear witness to the Savior that we serve. May the God of community forge us into a hopeful and gentle people. that we may walk in love as we go into this world. Walk in peace with everyone we meet. May God's grace touch our heart and mind and soul this day and forevermore.